This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Hello, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and you know, it's that time of the year. It's the festive season, and what would holidays be without a very merry Christmas? And so I have with me, for the third Christmas in a row, my good friend, and yours also, all the way direct from Las Vegas, Mr. Murray Sawchuk. Hey there, Murray.
Hey, how you doing, Scott? Thanks for chatting with me again. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
Well, thank you very much, and the same to you and yours. So last year when we talked, we were kind of getting up to date as to where you were with the show and everything. But first, I've got to say, it looks like that I saw on Facebook that you had grown a beard for Movember, and I guess now we're getting out of that. That looks like you shaved your beard.
I did. I grew it for Michael Giles, who most of us know, originally from the Majestics, and now... Mm-hmm. Working with himself and Melanie Giles with, you know, the ships and all that. I guess he got found out he had cancer about a month ago and shocked a lot of us, and he's a very dear friend of mine.
Right.
And I've never grown a facial hair. I never knew I could, actually. So I thought, well, why not do it, you know? So I went for it, and it was great. It was fun to have on. I think it shocked a lot of people. But I did my shows in Vegas with it on and stuff, and I shared a bit of my story in my shows as well. And then we're doing a vlog on my YouTube channel where you'll see me shave it off and all that. And then you can also donate to Michael's GoFundMe account for his medical bills, because they get pretty high when you're fighting cancer and dealing with chemo. So he's doing well, though.
As I understand, he is in like stage 4 of pancreatic cancer or something. Is that about right?
Yes. Yep. Yeah. So it's a tough one, but you know what? He's a fighter, and that's what you can do. That's all you can do, so.
Boy, that's right. Yeah. And so, by the way, that GoFundMe account is where? Where can they find that?
The GoFundMe account is, you can go to either Michael Giles or Melanie Giles Facebook. You can find it there. Or what you can do is you can just probably Google under the GoFundMe. I'm sure they have search categories.
Yeah.
And type in Michael Giles, G-I-L-E-S, and find it, donate there. And I believe, trying to figure out who started it, but I think it was, I'm trying to think of... Nicholas Knight, I believe, started the GoFundMe for him. I think it was him over in California, because they're dear friends as well. So it's a great cause, good guy, and you know, it would be really cool if he can get through this, which I think, you know, he's very poor. I went down and saw him the first week he was in the hospital, and I was shocked. I walked in the room, and he stood up, you know, out of the bed, gave me a hug, and
wow.
It was like there was nothing wrong with him. But, of course, you know, with cancer, that can turn pretty quick. So we're all very positive for him, and I thought that'd be kind of something, the least I can do, because... You know, we all run the risk of being in that position. You know, the older you get, the more friends you have that things like that happen to, you know.
Yep, the more important it seems like it is, the longer we live, and it's, that's true. Now, is he in the hospital or at home?
Well, he's in the hospital this week. I just found out for a few days I guess he was feeling a little bit of pain here and there, but he's been mainly home. I heard that Melanie now has learned how to give him a shot, I think, his shots that he needs. So I think the more... You can be at home, I think, the happier you are, because you're in your environment. But for the most part, he's home, and then he goes to the hospital for his treatments and then back. But right now, he's in the hospital for a couple of days. But he's doing well, though. You know, he's a fighter. He's a strong guy. He's in good shape, too. You know, it helps a lot staying healthy and in shape for your later years, you know.
Well, that's for sure. And it's interesting. I was just having a dinner with Scott Hollingsworth, who you well know, of course. Entertainment director of the former Magic Island here in Houston.
Yeah.
And we were talking about the Majestics. I was talking about Michael Giles, and he had not heard that. And he was saying, you know, it was me who had given them the name of the Majestics when they had worked come to the Magic Island, because Michael was coming here and was needing an assistant. And Chuck Jones said, well, my daughter would be a good suggestion. And so she came, and long story short, they worked together, and you know, that's what kind of what started the whole thing. And then I hadn't heard that story before. It's like, wow, Scotto, you got. I thought I knew everything about stories you'd heard, but that was something kind of different and new. Then I know that he and Stacy broke. So is the new team known as the Majestics, or did they put that aside?
No, the Majestics name went to rest, and he just goes under Michael and Melanie Giles now.
Uh-huh.
And they've been doing a lot of the NCL ships for a while, and they got the Jeff Hobson started the Illusionarium on there, and they've been really a huge part of that. So they've been going back and forth for the last 2 or 3 years. So it's been a really good gig for them, and they're good. I mean, you know, when the Majestics were around, as well as you know Melanie and Michael, Michael has a very strong performing persona. You know, he's very energetic and very get to the point type of performing, and I like it. It's very classic, and it's, you know, it's a very strong performer in that sense. So they've been working on NCL for a lot, so that's been good. But this is obviously their next contract they're taking a break from because of the fact that they've got to deal with this. And but what a shock, you know. He said he told yeah. me he had, you know, a bit of a stomach ache, or he thought it was maybe a stone or something like that. A bit of pain. Went to the doctor, got some medication for it. Then it spread a little further. And they went to back home here in Vegas and got it checked out. They did a scan on him, and then unfortunately, the rough news.
Well, you know, that was what happened to Robert Allen, and he went fairly quickly, and it seems that I believe that's pancreatic cancer that took him, and that was just like about a week before the Mindvention here in November.
Yeah, that was in, he lived in Vegas, didn't he?
Yes,
he
yes.
Here in Vegas? Yeah, no, yeah, mm-hmm. Robert, of course, yeah. That shocked me, too. I didn't know there was any issues with that, and I see him periodically, and I was surprised with that. So, I mean, it's amazing how you just don't know. I mean, look what happened to Paul Osborne recently as well. You know what I mean? That was a shocker. I know, I don't think it was cancer, but... But, you know, you think, oh, well, they'll be around forever, and then all of a sudden, you're like, shit, you know.
Tom Mulica, another one, you know.
Oh, shit, that shocked everybody. The thing that pissed everybody off on that, the fact that he was up for, you know, leaving us a long time ago with that bone marrow cancer, and we thought, well, that's going to be, you know, if you hear certain things, you go, well, that's it. And then you see somebody pull through like that, and you go, you know, there miracles do happen, and it gives you the positiveness, and then you go in for a hernia operation, and that's it. Like, what are the chances, you know?
It's amazing.
So,
I was going to say, sometimes I know they keep it private and personal, like in the case of Paul Daniels. I'm certain that was something that he had had for a while, and then whenever he announced it, it seemed to the Magic community that he went fairly quickly, and he did from the time that it was publicly announced. But I believe that must have been something he had known and held just within his family circle for quite a while. But it was, again, heck of a way. This has not really been a good year for magicians in general. There have been so many who have left us.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? I mean, it's, you know, and, you know, when you look at it, there's a lot of the older ones that, you know, let's be honest, you know, if we last to 100, it's a damn miracle, and people are getting close to that. Some of the legends, you know, we all know the names, and you sit back and you go, man, you know, I really hope they, but, you know, you look at 100 years old and you go, it's kind of where we're at. I mean, it's a statistic, you know, it's not really, and so you start seeing the guys that are creeping up there, and you realize in the next 10 years, it's going to be upsetting. You know?
Well, that's true. And of course, there's no one closer to you than your mentor with Mr. Electric, Marvin Roy.
Yeah.
And
he's 91.
91, is he? He's still getting around. I saw him at Magic Live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just saw him. I saw him last week for dinner. I went down there, and my new girlfriend, Jenny, who's a musician and Showstoppers, she wanted to meet him. And we were coming back from San Diego. He surprised me on my birthday with a bit of a wine tour in San Diego because we like wine. Yep. So we swung through Palm Springs. They really want you to meet Marv because he's such a big part of my life. He's like a second dad to me. And so I set dinner up with him, and I took him to we took him to Lord Fletcher's, which is a popular restaurant in Palm Springs. And she was shy. 91, you know, he's joking, and he's just got his cane because he has a little bit of his balance is off a little, and he hates the cane, but he uses it because obviously he doesn't want to end up on his ass.
Yeah.
And we ended up sitting there, and he's got a great meal, you know, he had a huge meal, and he ate it all. He's got a great appetite.
Good.
And he's very quick. I mean, he doesn't forget much, you know, like he will be sitting there. And he'll be like, yeah, great. So now you're doing what, 4 days a week now at 4 o'clock? And then in Christmas, you're going to go to the 6 days, right? I'm like, I don't even know that. I had to look at the calendar. And it's my own damn show, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And he remembers, all, you know, my dad, before he left us about a year and a half ago, his memory was going for 4 or 5 years. But he never wanted to get it checked out, whether it was dementia or Alzheimer's. But I'm sure it was one of them. And, you know, I'd come back from Hawaii, be a month back in Vegas. And he'd be like, yeah, so how's Hawaii going? I'm like, Dad, and then I'm back in, you know, back in Vegas. And I said, oh, that's right. So, you know, my dad was only 83. When he left us. So here's Marv at 91, and his memory is unbelievably good. And it's not just the long term, it's the short term. You know, he really is still in there, and his body's great, and he's going for checkups, and he does his walks in his community out there. He's in the golf course community in Palm Springs. So, you know, I hope he lasts. You know, he wants to make 100, and, you know, if anybody, I think he does have the shot of that because his mind is right on the money, you know.
Well, I really hope that he does. You know, the Divernon was on track to make it to 100, and then once he had a fall, you know, the problem is, I think at that age, whenever that you break a bone, particularly a hip or something like that, that you kind of get down, you can't get up, and you kind of lose your will, I believe. And that was what I understand the issue was with him, and he had to leave L.A. and then moved south to live with his son, Teddy. And you know, it wasn't but just a few months after that, and he didn't make it to 100. So, you know, fingers crossed, hoping that Marvin does. Yeah, you know, somebody, I remember, again, talking to him at Magic Live, and I did a short podcast with him. I say short because, as you know, when you talk with him, he does all the talking because he remembers he's a great conversationalist, and it's always, you know, like, hey, Scotty, how you doing? And you talk about the cane, you know, I think he was leaning on the cane on one hand and then put his hand on my shoulder on the other to steady himself, you know.
That's funny. Sure, yeah, of course.
As we were talking.
Course.
But, yeah, the stories the guy has, my goodness, you know. And for those people who haven't read and enjoyed his book, it really is a love letter to his wife, Carol. Fabulous, fabulous book. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's phenomenal. It's unbelievable. So it's it was one of those things. You look at the things that he has done and the world that he's worked in and when he worked in it. We dream of that. Even today, I dream of that. You know what I mean? Like, you know, and when I was talking to him a few days ago, he says, you know, I said, man, I'd love to live your life. And he says, you are. You don't see that, do you, yet? I said, well, no. He said, well, because you're busy paying the mortgage and then the next job. We all do that. Until you sit down and look 10 years back and you go, oh, I can't believe I, you know, worked with, you know, Alice Cooper, and I did the Hollywood Parade, and I played all these lovely venues all around the world, and I got to do this and that. Because you're so in the game trying to pay the bills.
Right.
You try to appreciate it as much as you can. It's only when you sit down and you talk to somebody that's trying to do what you did, and they go, wait a minute, you know, you've really done it. And I'm like, I don't know if I've done it yet. I'm still trying. Because when you're at the, you know, say you want to play the Magic Castle in Hollywood, which is all of our dreams. And, you know, I worked hard to get there. And I wanted to play when I was 16, and I was lucky enough at 24 to finally get invited. And then, you know, we all, once you're in and accepted and you do good, you're hopefully on the roster every year. But so we've been, you know, I've been doing it like yourself for years. But you know, that was a big goal. But my goal to get the Magic Castle was when I was 16. So when I actually got at the Magic Castle 8 years later, 24, my dream had already, you know, I had 8 years to, you know, make more dreams up. So by the time I hit Magic Castle, that dream was at 16. So in my head, it took me 8 years to make that sucker happen.
Yeah.
And in those 8 years, I had a lot bigger dreams, my own TV show, being a reality star, having a show in Las Vegas, you know. So by the time I hit Magic Castle, I'm like, huh, finally made it. You know what I mean? But it was already eight years, so it wasn't that. It was still thrilling to be there, amazing. But I wanted that at 16. But I've always been that way. Whenever I've got something, I want the next thing. I'm never satisfied. That's probably why I'm always working. But that's just me, you know.
No, I think that's not just you. Well, I say it's not just you.
Sure.
There are others who have goals and dreams and plans, and they do that. But you are among the few and the elite who actually do that. Because I'm saying all the time, you know, you should plan your work and work your plan. And indeed, like what you're just saying, since you were young, that you had this plan and this dream, and you're going to be trying to achieve that. And if you have that goal, I always believe that you will achieve that sooner, particularly if you write it down, because that way you're going to get to that goal at a sooner date, and then you have to have something beyond that. In other words, that you just don't have that one goal also. I think what I'm reading between the lines is you're saying that you have had that goal, but you're always pushing yourself for something else, because if you achieve that, let's say you have a 1 year, 3, 5, 10, 15, 30 year goal or whatever, and you have achieved your 5 year goal within 3 years, then you kind of push forward your 10 year goal to become now your 5 year goal. And so
that's right.
You know, and I think that by having those kinds of goals, and if you have them printed out and you look at them every day, they're above your computer or on your refrigerator or someplace, it's one of those affirmations for yourself to help you try to get to where you want to be sooner than later. And if you're not there, then why not? You just need to readjust the sail and get to where you want to be.
Yeah, 100%. I totally agree with that. It's so important in that sense because, you know, some people like to write it down. I see people when I go in homes, they out on their fridge, you know, what their goals are and that. And it does remind you because there's so many things in life that distract you. You know, paying the bills, relationships, you know, finding the next job, whatever that is, fixing a car, something breaks. And so you get distracted and all of a sudden 3 months go by and go, oh man, I really got to keep pushing for that one gig I want in Mexico or I want that one gig on a cruise ship. But you forget because you all of a sudden you get caught up in life. Family, kids, and all that. And so if you do have it written down, you actually do see it. And it does, it's like, I always tell people, it's a billboard in your own home about you. Because when you're driving somewhere, you see billboards. Not, you don't necessarily want to see them, but you do see them. Mm-hmm. And if you see one 10 times in a drive about maybe you should get a retirement plan, you know what, by the end of the drive, you might think, you know what, I should maybe go to my bank and see if I should maybe put some money in a retirement plan, you know, because it is a subliminal thing, or a vacation to Mexico, or whatever the billboard is. You can't avoid it, you know what I mean, when you're driving, unless you're Stevie Wonder, you know. You can, you know, you see them, you know, and that's just the way it is. So, well, and it really helps when they're in your own home, you know.
Beyond that also, I think then you have to have that concerted plan. I mean, just wishing is one thing. which wishes are not necessarily going to come true unless you have a plan to make that desire into an actionable plan and something that is achievable as well. In other words, that, okay, I want to work Las Vegas by this weekend. That's not reasonable for a variety of reasons. I want to have my own whatever. Okay, so how do you go about it? And you have had a methodical plan as far as like utilizing social media to make this work for you. I mean, everybody will have their own way of trying to achieve whatever that is. I don't care if it's trying to work more birthday parties, or you want to get that job at a restaurant, or you have a client, or you have a client at a trade show that you aspire to work for this company or whatever. Well, how do you go about doing it? Each way, I mean, in other words, it may not be social media to get you to that client that you want to work for this trade show, but there may be other things as far as networking within companies that work with that company. So they kind of get to see you with them and what you can do for them or whatever. So, I think that you, again, just need to have a plan to get to reaching whatever your wish and desire is, which will actually change that from a wish and a desire to a goal.
You do. You have to really work at it. And don't be ever scared of being a pain in the ass. You know what I mean? I've always said that to people. I've been a pain in the ass to people for 30 years, you know. Mm-hmm. There's a way to do it, you know, and an understanding, the time to do it. I mean, for example, is I just finished doing the Hollywood Parade in Hollywood, the Christmas Parade they have every year. It's the 85th year. I saw it growing up on TV back in Vancouver, Canada. You see all the stars. You see the cool cars in the movies. And it's on Hollywood Boulevard. To me, it's just the greatest thing. I mean, if you're a kid, it's just unbelievable seeing the stars, Hollywood Boulevard, all that stuff. And especially being from Canada, I always wanted to be a part of it. Well, Masters of Illusion has done very well for the last few years. It's got renewed for a fourth season, so I've been on it every year. Yep. Also, the producers who produce Masters of Illusion produce the parade, so I know people there. Oh. And I've been asking every single year to be on the parade, and you know, I've got a lot of credits behind me to be on the show. But you know, it doesn't really matter all the time. It's who you know, it's timing, it's whether they have space for you. So, you know, every year I've asked. I've emailed, I've asked early, nothing, nothing, nothing. And then finally this year I asked again. I said, what do I got to do to be on the parade? I really want to be on this thing. We have so many guests. But if you really want to be on it, you know, we can make room for you. You know, but you got to get in town. You got to do all this. You know, we can give you about 2.5-3 minutes. And then you got to ride in the car and stuff. I said, I'll do it. Whatever it is. You know, done. Let's make it happen. Mm-hmm. And I went the extra mile, and so did they. And it was a pain, you know, pain in the ass of enough that I finally got invited. You know what I mean? It wasn't like it just happened. And you know, there's over 55 magicians on Masters of Illusion they could have used in that parade because we were going in as that show. So I just was, you know, nagging enough, like I've done with many things, from Pawn Stars to all these TV shows I've been on. There was a few that landed on my lap, and I got lucky. They booked me because they want to be, and that was it. There's others where I've had to be a woodpecker, and I've had to just keep tapping away at the wood until the bark, you know, peels away to the, you know, the people that really make decisions, and, you know, and I could prove myself. So, that people don't realize that you really got to ask for the job.
Squeaky wheel gets the grease, you know.
100%.
Yeah. So you've been on, you said, 4 seasons of Master Delusion, and they picked it up already for a 5th season, or do you know what's happening?
Yes. Yeah, they've 3 seasons. They picked up for a 4th season now.
Okay.
So it's wonderful, and we'll start filming that in, I believe it's January, February.
But I didn't know actually that they were involved with the Hollywood Parade. So they have a float or several floats, and you're doing
magic?
They have one float,
yeah. But the actual production company, Associated Television, that produces Master of Illusion and owns Master of Illusion, they're the ones that produce the Hollywood Parade. So at most TV shows, people don't realize that it comes from a production company. So it could be Sean Penn's production company or Spielberg's production company. And then from there, it goes to the different shows, you know, whether it be Charmed or Big Bang Theory or whatever the case is.
Sure.
And then from there, it goes to the actual, you know, developers and artists and writers.
Now, is that parade on after Thanksgiving or when? I mean, the one I see, of course, is the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade on Thursdays. But so
this parade was filmed. We shot it Sunday and it was live. And it was live Sunday. But the actual parade will air on TV December 16th on CW. So for everyone in Hollywood, it was live that night. It was an event. It was an evening. It started. Christmas kicked off in Hollywood, and it was over 100,000 people. It was unbelievable. And you ride these parade floats or cars and all that for 3.5 miles. It goes all the way down Hollywood Boulevard, which is just in front of the Magic Castle.
Yeah.
And it starts at Orange Street. Orange Street is the street, if anyone's been to the castle, is the one that literally drives right in to the Magic Castle driveway. So if you're driving off Franklin, to the left is this Orange Street. It's a very small, it's called Orange, and it's a street. Now, that's where the parade actually starts, but on Hollywood Boulevard, a block away, which is in front of the Grauman's Chinese Theater. You go down there, and that's where all the TV cameras are. And they literally red carpet the whole Hollywood Boulevard from Orange to Hollywood and Highland. So it's all red with bleachers. And then they have about 2,000 people in the bleachers. And a stage where, you know, Olivia Newton-John sang this year, and Kenny G, and a bunch of people, and Mark McGrath. And then after Hollywood and Highland, it's just the regular roads. But they're all blocked off for 3.5 miles. It goes all the way down to Vine, Vine down to Sunset, Sunset all the way down to La Brea, and then back up to Hollywood. And you're going like 2 miles an hour at like 56-degree weather. And I did not know that. And I wore a very light blue jacket. I thought it was just at 5 blocks.
Yeah.
We've been around. We've done it. That's great. Lovely. Nope. Not a chance. And boy, when you're going 2 miles an hour with wind in a little blazer, I'm letting you know it's very cold.
We're chilled to the bone. Not, I wouldn't think of that in Hollywood. Yeah, I think it'd be warm.
No, no, but just let you know, I was like Olaf in Frozen, that little snowman.
Yeah,
that's what I looked like by the time I came back to the end of the Hollywood parade. I came back as Olaf.
You said you were working on, on the parade or in the parade in a car. So it wasn't really like on a float or something. Was that correct?
No. Nope. Okay, so they have cars from all the movies. So they have the 18 van, Dukes of Hazzard's car, all that stuff. And they have Mustangs. They're really cool. They had the Batman car. They had R2-D2 and C-3PO and all that stuff. Uh-huh. And so they have different cars that they put people in. You know, and then they have convertibles that have stars in it, you know.
Sure.
And they're just really nice cars that are decked out that look pretty. And then on the side of it says who they are and what show they're in or whatever. You know, Days of Our Lives or Hallmark Home and Family or whoever it is. And that's the stars that sit in the car.
Because what I was envisioning is thinking about a float where you're like on a flatbed and basically doing the linking rings or making somebody float or something like that. But it's nothing like that necessarily. You're just kind of waving from the window of a car.
Yeah. But you're actually – every car is a convertible that has stars in it. So you're sitting actually on the back of it. Just like you'd see at JFK when he got shot. That's exactly what it was like.
Gotcha.
You know, minus the shooting. But but we were, you know, we sit on the back of a convertible. They're all convertibles that the stars sit in. So people can see you and you wave and all that. But, you know, every year I saw these people wearing these winter coats. I'm like, well, that's cute. It's Christmassy. I thought, well, I'm going to keep my blue suit look, which I've changed my blue suit a little bit now. They're a bit more of a hip, modern-looking outfit. And now I know exactly why the people wear those warm coats. So if I ever do it again, I've learned my why.
Well, and so now that you've crossed it off your bucket list, do you want to do it again?
I would definitely do it again. I mean, it's one of those experiences that, you know, it's Hollywood. You're on – You know, we also did a performance. We performed on the main stage as well, and I did some magic in the audience as well with cameras. So it'll all be edited into a, you know, an hour TV special, you know, December 16th on CW. But it's I'd love to do it again. You know, but now when I come in, I'll be a little more prepared of, you know, what's going on. But it's such a great event. It was just one of the very
cool. That sounds
cool
pretty
thing.
Cool.
Yeah, really cool.
So now I want to pick up kind of back where I started there to begin with, saying, well, kind of a year has passed since the last time. And at that time, you were just about to begin your you just found the new assistant who is going to be assisting you, who has been working with you, I know, this past year. And you had just moved from, I think, the Tropicana and closed there in opening of the new venue.
Well, you know, you're right about one thing. Yeah, the new assistant, we literally just celebrated her one-year anniversary of my show about a week ago. I think it was November the 24th was her exact year, almost on Thanksgiving. April, Leo Party, and she's phenomenal. Just such a very talented. She's way too talented for my show. And I only say that because right now she's working in 7 different shows in Vegas.
What?
That's how popular she is. She just finished doing like her 4th time performing the Latin Grammys with Mark Anthony. I mean, she's really a great dancer and a performer.
Wow.
And she's just, you know, she's just... you know, she's been in all her life, and that's what she does. But and it'll be 2 years, December 20th, there'll be a Planet Hollywood. So last year, I think we actually talked. We actually sat down, and we had your martini chat.
Yes.
Because I came off a cruise ship that I saw. I was visiting for once on a ship, seeing a friend of mine.
Down in Galveston, right.
Yeah, we sat together, and it was a nice senior home, all decorated for the holidays. And that was, we were coming into a year, and so this year it'll be 2 years at Planet Hollywood. So,
that's right.
So it's been good. It's been
that's
good.
Right.
But 1 year for my assistant. So yeah, you're right on the money on that. So she's been great. She's really talented and she's loving it. And you know, she enjoys the perks of it. Like I've been very lucky to get some really cool gigs, you know, like the Hollywood Parade. And then this weekend we're buzzing off to Arizona. Friday morning we have a show at the Wild Horse Pass Casino in Arizona. And then Saturday, we're doing, this is my fourth year doing it, Alice Cooper's Christmas Pudding. And it's going to be Alice Cooper, Johnny Depp, and Joe Perry, the Hollywood Vampires, along with Sammy Hagar, Jim Blossoms, Korn, all one evening. So it's going to be pretty cool working with them. I mean, I'm right down at the bottom of the totem pole because all those guys are legends.
Hey, but you're there.
I am there. It's my fourth year, so I've done something right. And Allison's wife, Cheryl, are just such great people. So I'm really excited to work with that caliber of people because, you know, they're legends. I mean, these guys are legit stars. I mean, it's one thing to be in Vegas and be a celebrity and all this other crap. But the point is, these people are, you know, they've done their time and they're just phenomenal artists and who they are. So to be a part of that is just a massive thing, at least for my career, and just, you know, just enjoy performing with them.
Yeah, they're not flash in the pans. They've been around for a long time and been proven celebrities, certainly. Now, is this going to be at a casino? Is a private thing at a home? Or how is
No, it's a public show. It's a public show at the Celebrity Theater in Phoenix, Arizona, and it's in the Round, the Celebrity Theater, which is a theater in the Round, so we all perform in the Round. Because, you know, with magic, that can always be fun.
Oh, yeah.
But with 2,500 seats in the Round, everyone's got a really good seat because, if you can imagine, if you do 2,500 seats in a regular theater, well, it has to start from the front of the stage and go all the way back. Mm-hmm. But with this, when you're in the Round, well, to get 2,500 people around in a circle, the rows only go like 10 or 15 or 20 back because it's the Round, see? Because so it's a really cool way to see a performer because even if you're way in the back at the cheaper seats, you still have a great seat. So it's going to be a real fun event. So that's Saturday night. We're going to go off and do that. So.
Well, that was I was going to say then, too, whenever that you are away like this, should I assume that your theater then is dark and you're not performing, or do you have someone replace you, or you bring them in, or what do you do in cases when
No, I go dark. I go dark, you know.
You don't have a contract that says you have to provide somebody else.
I don't. No. I know Matt King does that over at Harris. Yeah. When he leaves for a week, he can bump in Dana Daniels or any of those guys, Derek Hughes and all that.
Steve Bragazzi.
It's great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Steve Bargatze, and they're all great. Well, we did that once at Tropicana and left for a week. But I realized because – and this is just business. It has nothing to do with my ego. I thought I could do that. And then we did that, and the week I had another headliner in there, our sales dropped by 90%.
Holy cow.
Because my sales are directly driven off of you knowing me. You see me on reality TV or YouTube or Pawn Stars. So when I'm not there, people just don't want to go see a magic show.
Mm-hmm.
They're there to see me. Whereas other deals, like Max and that, it's tied in with a casino. So if you're in a players club or you got other things, people are they have a free ticket to see a magic show. And it is Matt King. And as we know, he's phenomenal and he's a very, very good friend. But if he's not there and you still have a free ticket to see a cool magic show, you're going to go. You know what I mean? Because his deal is way better than mine. He's tied in with a hotel deal. So he's set in the sense of he's not just relying off a billboard selling tickets to go see Matt King. You know, it's a whole different deal structure.
I understand that. I hadn't thought about that, but I understand. Yeah.
It's a whole different deal structure, which I would love to have his deal compared to mine, you know, because when you have a hotel behind you and people are going to see, you can do that because whether or not, you know, they're you know, the hotel's helping the show's helping the hotel. Of course, he's got ticket sales off himself as well and his fan base, but it's definitely a different deal structure than mine. And we tried that for a week, and it was a rude awakening. I realized people weren't just coming to see a magic show. They were coming to see, you know.
You, yeah, exactly.
Me, yeah, and I'm trying to say it as humbly as I can.
well, you know that's the truth. Yeah, I know, because you've established a brand, and people come to see that brand. It's kind of like going to see the Celine Dion show, and Scott Wells comes and sings. They go, wait a minute, that's not
the... Exactly. And that's the problem. Now, you know, I guess it's kudos to me, but because I set that up, I lost a fortune that week just because, you know, I booked somebody in, and I thought, well, you know, our numbers should be pretty close, so we'll deal with it, you know.
Yeah.
And we put a, you know, a headshot of the box office saying, hey, Murray's gone for the week. We have another great magic show. Here he is. It was a rough week for us, but I learned quickly that I realized I couldn't do that. It was better for me just to take the week off. And, you know, and then just come back.
So when you do that, let's say whenever that you do go away, let's say you're going, well, I know you went to work at the Florida State Magic Convention or whatever a convention might be or some other corporate event or whatever. Do you consider this and look at, okay, I can make X dollars if I stay here or I'm going to, you know, lose X dollars or make X dollars by going and doing this other thing outside of Vegas? Do you look at it from a financial standpoint?
100%.
Okay.
100%. And it's a balance. So some things you take off because it's better and others you take off because it's not. Meaning, like the Hollywood Parade. there was no money in that. You know what I mean? I went there as a PR thing. But right. the exposure of the Hollywood Parade, mm-hmm. to be around real stars, you know what I mean? Bill Engvall and you know, Cyndi Lauper and Olivia Newton-John and all that, there's no price tag on that. You know right. what I mean? And the exposure. So if that day cost me money by leaving my show to go in and do that, that's a win for me, because without the exposure, I don't sell tickets. And as you know, my main hook is PR and publicity, and that's how I have the balls to have a show in Las Vegas, you know, because mm-hmm. when you got Copperfield, you have other big stars selling tickets here who really have a legendary history or exposure. You need to keep up with that, you know, if you're really selling hard tickets to your name. I mean, perfect example is Band of Magicians was here. They opened literally 4.5 weeks ago, and they closed 3 weeks ago, and they lost about $300,000. They had seven billboards, 200 cab backs, full page ads, everything, and they lost a load. Once again, they didn't come into the market and research it good enough. You know what I mean? And the guys are all good magicians, nice kids, and they're young and good looking and all that jazz. And I saw the show, and one of them's a very, very dear friend of mine. And the magic was good, you know. But the problem is, it takes more than good magic to have a show in Vegas. You need to have a fan base, a following, and you really need your PR to be on point. You got to really be honest with yourself. You know, I said this many times. I might be repeating myself in one of our interviews, because I've said this. You know, I said, if you really want to know your worth, we all think we're amazing because, you know, our wives, our daughters, our sons, our brothers and parents tell us we're amazing, of course. But when you leave the house, you should see if you can get someone to spend $35 to go see you. It's mm-hmm. not that easy. And 35 is reasonable. You know, like, you know, Elton John's 125 and Cirque du Soleil is 150. I'm just using 35 as a average kind of affordable price to see a show, you know?
Yeah.
But if you try to get someone to part with $35 to see you, that's how you realize how talented you are and how important you are. And a lot of times it's shocking that no one wants to spend $35 to see you, because that's your real that's your real value.
Yeah,
and
that's a gut check
most of
there.
Us, yes, exactly. It's a reality check. And most people can't pull off $35 for someone to come see them perform. They just can't. It's not that easy, because you need to have a fan base. You need to have people willing to see you and like your brand and what you offer. You know, cruise ships are a false sense of reality. I see people always saying, oh, I get standing ovations every night in a cruise ship. Yeah, well, no one bought a ticket, first of all. Second of all, you're better than they probably expected, because they didn't expect you to be that, you know, who knows, you know what I mean? And there's 1,800 people sitting there. And if you know how to end it properly and stand there, you know, with the right bout, they're going to stand. I mean, they stand for most of the production shows, you know what I mean? But when you got to get a standing ovation off a paid ticket on land, that the only reason that theater, the people are sitting there is because of you, it's a real shocker. You know, you're lucky to get 100 people to pay.
All right, we will return to our podcast momentarily, but first I want to take a commercial break to reintroduce you again to Eric Citron, who is our sponsor and the owner and proprietor of the newest online magic shop called the Great American Magic Company, and here he is now. Hello, Eric.
Hi, Scott. How are you?
Doing fantastic, thank you. So how have things been going since you just opened up the shop in the last 2 weeks?
It's been going really well. We're getting orders every day. Our Facebook community is growing by leaps and bounds. We have over 500 likes. Your listeners could look forward to our full-page ads coming out over the next 6 months in Vanish Magazine and Genie Magazine. We'll have full-page ads in there every month.
And if people want to join the Facebook page and see what kind of specials and things you've got going on, where do they go there?
It's facebook.com/ The Great American Magic Company. We post new products on there every day. There's Facebook-only specials on there, so check back often and you can get a great deal. And speaking of great deals, we're offering free shipping for the remainder of 2016. When you go to our website and you check out, put the word holiday in, and you'll get free shipping on any order.
So there's a cell there, I guess, where you can put in the code, the promo code?
Absolutely. At the end of the shopping cart, when you're ready to check out, there's a promo code in there. And if you put in the word holiday, you'll get free shipping.
And do they take PayPal as well as credit cards?
Exactly. We accept everything.
That sounds great. Well, and speaking of great deals, of course, this last week we gave away, or you gave away, 2 months of Murphy's Magic's At the Table Lecture Series. And I want to congratulate the winner again for the 2 months, and you'll be getting back with that person shortly. But since this is a holiday, what have you got to give away this week?
Well, it's going to be a little bit of a mystery since it is a holiday, and I know this podcast will come out the Thursday before Christmas in December of 2016. For those of you who like to listen to the archives, we're going to make it a little bit of a mystery. So we're not going to tell you exactly what you're going to win, but you're going to win something that you'll enjoy. It will be magic related, of course. And when you get it, open it up.
And it'll be like a Christmas gift for you, basically. It's fantastic.
Exactly.
And for those who want to enter, all they need to go is to themagicwordpodcast.com. If you're listening to this through your RSS feed, a podcatcher, through iTunes, or any other type of method of online, be sure to go to the website where you can sign up. And when you put in your name and your email address, then we will have a random drawing. And that person's email will be sent then to Eric, and he will contact you to get your physical mailing address, and mail out the product if you live in the U.S. Is that right? Domestic only?
Yes. And the other thing I would like to bring to attention is on our website, we have a reward loyalty program. So for every item that you purchase, whether it be a digital download or a physical product, you get reward points, and you can exchange those reward points in for dollars, and you can use those dollars to purchase anything on the site.
That sounds fantastic. So again, that is thegreatamericanmagiccompany.com. So, Eric, thank you very much, and I wish you and yours a very Merry Christmas.
Same to you. I'd like to wish you and Kathy a very Merry Christmas, and to everybody listening in the Magic Word podcast land, have a happy holiday.
Thanks very much. So now we will return you to our regularly scheduled podcast with Murray Sawchuk. Well, you'd mentioned also, I think, in a previous chat we had many years ago, in talking about people who are not well-known outside of Vegas because they have billboards and everything. When you come in, it's like, who is this guy? I've not heard of this person, because you're going to see him on the cab backs or on the sides of buses or billboards or whatever. It's like, never heard of this guy, you know, because it hasn't been on Entertainment Tonight or something, and people don't know the name. And so you can be a celebrity in that small pond of Las Vegas, but outside the city limits, basically, you're nobody then again.
Well, no, you know, when we're on ships and stuff, and we're in these other places, theme parks, where, you know, you have flat fee and you're doing five shows a day, and they're coming to see you because you're a magic show. They're not coming to see you because you're Murray. You know what I mean? They're coming because it's free. It's part of the admission, and there's shows every half an hour.
Right.
You know, people say, oh, my God, you're better than Copperfield. Well, yeah, I am better than Copperfield because it's a free show. You didn't have to spend $125 to see me, you know? It was better than you expected. But let's not kid ourselves. We're not. You know what I mean? The guy's a legend. He's phenomenal. And even his worst show is better than our best show, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just a fact. The magic's phenomenal. Is he as good as he was in the 90s? I loved him when he was in the 90s. You know what I mean? Everyone changes their style, but I love him.
He has such charisma also.
Yes, of course. So we got to get a little real with ourselves. And I've always been real with myself. I know exactly what I look like when I do a good show, when I screw up a show or don't do something 100%, you know?
Yeah.
And a funny story, shooting Masters, I can tell you later, with the Dream Vision, which was just a complete disaster for me. But it didn't air.
Tell me that now.
You want to hear it?
Yeah.
Well, So, you know, things happen, and you think, oh, I'm amazing, and then all of a sudden you realize, holy crap, I'm not, you know, and very few things screw up on me, because I'm really particular. I work every day almost, thank God, and, you know, I cover my bases, but then there's sometimes you just can't believe what's going on, and my temper's pretty chill, and even if something screws up on stage, I laugh it off. Mm-hmm. Man, so we're shooting Masters, and I was doing three tricks last year for the show. And one was to produce my Corvette, which is the 73 Corvette I have with April in it. Mm-hmm. And the second one was doing the Tube Zag illusion, cut her in half. And the third one was doing Green Vision, the old chalkboard illusion that,
right,
ironically, Copperfield made famous years ago when he was on TV with Don Wayne.
Wayne, right.
So, yeah. So I've had it for years. But it's very hard to use. You got to hang it, and you need fly systems. And it's just not conducive to most performing environments. So mm-hmm. I had a store trying to sell a thing. Well, they wanted more material. I said, well, I could do the Dream Vision. They said, yeah, great. So I rehearsed it in my garage with Lefty,
yeah,
and another buddy of mine, and about 100 times. Because to load, you know, people who know how it works or doesn't know, to load that chalkboard right and get the prediction up there in time and forward when you give that information and you read it to the person that you're doing the trick with, there's a very, you know, there's about an 8 to 15 second moment where it needs to work, and then nothing can screw up. You know what I mean? Because it's
right,
a moment.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm doing the bit. So I have a little girl. I do mine with a little girl on the edge of the stage, and we talk about the best day ever she's ever had. And that's what we go through. We go through when she wakes up, who does she walk to school with, when she's at school, who's your teacher, and then what do you do after school, and then who you're here with, your mom and dad or whatever. So that's the whole kind of thing we do. And as people know, Copperfield was about going on a date or some darn thing. So we're there. Everything's practiced. We did the rehearsal that afternoon on set. Worked great. Great. We've all got it. Now, this trick takes literally pretty much three people to make happen. Me and two people that are pushing the chalkboard forward and that are off stage. So
okay.
I'm talking to the girl, and, you know, obviously as I'm talking to the girl, somebody's helping me get this prediction happening.
Sure.
Well, it's so funny. We're walking. First of all, I said, well, we said, where are you from and who are you going with? All that stuff. And I said, well, who's teaching you at your school? You can have anybody as your teacher. Justin Bieber. You can have whatever you want as your teacher for the day. And she's like, Ariana Grande. I'm like, holy crap. How do you spell? You know, I'm thinking in my head, I'm thinking, you know, you couldn't have picked just, you know, something simple, right? And of course, I'm thinking, because I'm not the one dealing with it, is my staff backstage dealing with these names. I'm thinking, I hope to God somebody's got Google to get that right. Because the worst thing that gives these tricks away, in my opinion, is when, you know, when somebody spells, like, say, Richard Gere, you know, and they spell like Richard and then G-E-A-R. No, it's not Richard, you know, and some assistant has no idea. And it blows the whole trick. Because realistically, if, you know, I think it's just.
Yeah, it should be done that far in advance. You would know what it is and you would research. You'd make it the correct
spelling. Yeah, and nowadays,
sure.
There should be no issues because you should be able to have a Google open on your phone and you should be able to figure this out as the trick's happening. So we do all this stuff and I'm talking on the edge of the stage. Well, so the chalkboard's hanging where it should be and I show the corner to show that I've already got it written on there. Great. Then we sit down with the girl. I'm going through all the bits. Wonderful. Now we finished. Now I stand up. When I stand up, the easel's pushed out on stage, and the chalkboard's lowered into it, and that's when the sneaky move happens for the 10, 15 seconds, right? And then it's pushed forward. Well, honest to God, so what's supposed to happen is my two guys are supposed to unhook it from the fly and then push it forward because it's hanging in the air, so nothing can be around it, behind it, and you know it's been there forever.
Exactly.
And that's all it is. It should just take the time to unhook it and then push forward. Well, I'm standing there, and I've run through all the stuff she's done already. We go through everything. And that should be enough time to get that chalkboard to me. And I'm sitting there, and it's not even close to me. I mean, it's still in the parking lot. And I'm sitting there, and I'm talking. I've already gone through the whole scenario again. I go, so now, and it was like something like, you know, her teacher was Ariana Grande. After school, she wanted to go to Paris, France, and see the Eiffel Tower. And then her mom and dad, I forget her mom and dad's name, but I always tie that into the end as a bonus. You know, I always go, thanks so-and-so for letting me use your daughter, whatever it is. And all of a sudden, so I hear them unhook it, and I'm here jingling around. And now, when you do this trick, the two guys who unhook it or whoever's doing it should always be beside or behind the board. They should never be in front of it. So I hear that – now I'm hearing all this behind me. Now, I've already let 20 seconds go by, which on TV – this is live taping. It's got a full audience. We're going for it.
Yeah.
20 seconds feels like 2 hours when something's not going. I mean, it just feels like an eternity. I turn around, and I'm looking, and now I see Lefty in front of the chalkboard – with it still hooked up on the easel. And he's re-straightening out the fabric in front of it. One of the fabric of the cover, because the chalkboard's covered so you can't see it, is caught up on top of the back of it, which I don't even know how it got there because it wasn't there when I turned around at the beginning of the show. It was fine. So I don't know what the heck happened. And so I'm sitting there, and I just said, so I looked back, and I just said, stop. That's it. Stop, stop. Because I got to a point where I was like, you know what? This is no good. This is a disaster because he shouldn't be in front of it. And that cover shouldn't be halfway up on the cover of the chalkboard. Mm-hmm. So I turn and look. I hear the voice of God in the studio, and they go, no, it's okay, Murray. Just take it back from where you were. You're fine. I'm thinking, I don't know how this is going to be fine because I'm thinking that board can't be right yet.
Can't be ready, yeah.
No, so I turn around, and literally what happened is when they set the prediction in place, one of the guys snagged the cloth, and it got pulled right up into the board. So I couldn't even show the prediction because the cloth got snagged into the board and the clip.
Oh, I see.
So, so that's why Lefty had to walk in front of it to straighten it out. Well, it doesn't matter because basically when it gets snagged in, you can't get it out. You have to unreset the trick and then reset it again.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Because once it's in, you're screwed. You can't pop it back. You got to, you know, and don't forget, I got an audience of 300 live. Like, they're not, you know, and I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. You know, usually it happens like every like 6 to 8 years, you have one of these moments where it's absolutely diabolical and you cannot get yourself out of it. There's no hope in hell.
And one of the worst times, too.
Oh, of course, because it was, you know, live taping, audience in there. And I know we could redo it and stuff like that, but with Masters, we really do one take. I mean, they keep a tight ship. And I thought, man, how are we gonna save this thing? So anyways, so finally we reset it and we got the board right. Because I knew the prediction was going to be right. We just had to get that board set. So we finally reset the board. Then we pushed it forward. Now, then I dropped the cloth with my assistant April, went down, we read, and it was right in the audience. That was right. Would you believe all that crap happened? for like 5 minutes of my life, which was just hell. And when I still dropped the prediction, the audience still didn't know what was going on. They thought it was phenomenal, you know? And it's amazing how you just don't know when things go right or
wrong.
Well,
that's what went on air, too. I saw that episode.
Yes, and what they did is they just edited out the part that was the 5 minutes of hell, you know? And they just went from the prediction and cut back to that. And that's the beautiful thing of TV.
Well, I remember whenever that she had said Ariana Grande.
That's right, exactly.
You kind of looked at her. That look on your face like, uh-oh.
Yeah, I'm thinking, right? I don't know how to spell that. Yeah, exactly, right? I'm thinking, yeah. And then she went Paris, France, at the Eiffel Tower. I'm like, Eiffel Tower, how the hell do you spell Eiffel? You know, it's easy if we have time. But, you know, with this trick, time is your enemy.
Yeah.
Because this trick, you got to, you know, we want words like the, Bob, and. We're really good with those words. You start getting long words, all of a sudden you're like, are
yeah,
you kidding?
That's funny.
So I was going through this in my head because that's another thing that really ticks me off with any prediction when people spell it wrong. To me, all my crew knew that every word had to be right because – to me, it's a fail. You know?
Well, speaking of the Masters of Illusion and that tour, I know that they go around the country. I don't know. Do they go also into Canada, or do they go overseas, or do they mainly just travel across the U.S.?
I don't know if they go into Canada yet, but I know they do all the states. I know they're doing the states, and I don't know if they're going overseas. I think they've talked about going to Mexico and a few places, but it's mainly the states right now. But it's been a very successful tour.
Yeah.
And once again, I know a lot of people look at some of the magicians and go, oh, that's an old trick, or, you know, they're trying to look hip and modern, and they're not, and all this stuff. Because, you know, and all that. I know people always have an opinion. We all do. But the bottom line is the reason they can tour, the reason they're successful, and we go back to this whole thing of selling a $35 ticket, is because the show's on TV, and
right,
their work's, and the
right,
brand is becoming a brand now, because it's been 3 years consistently, and now it's going to be four. And that's why people want to go see this. You know,
and you were saying there were like 55 magicians who rotate on the TV show. So
yeah,
I'm assuming that they can kind of plug and play those people around the country within that. I know Farrell Dillon travels a lot with that, and as well
yes,
as some other guys on
great,
a regular basis, and then they kind of plug and play some other folks. So have you been
yeah,
out on tour with them or occasionally or filled in?
I have, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I have. Where the hell was I? Last year I went and did Atlantic City, Harris in Atlantic City,
mm-hmm,
and really beautiful theater over there. And they call me now, but with my show in town, with doing the 4 to 6 days a week, it isn't always easy to get away. You know, sometimes they do tour in the prime time, so I can't always go out and do the shows with them. But I have done it, and I love it. It's a well-oiled
yeah,
machine.
Yeah.
You have Gabe Blackstone behind there. You got David Martin, all these guys. They've done magic for years, so it's and Barry Thurston and all those guys, and you know they've been around for years. So it's you know. It's
yeah,
just
I
nice
talked
work with
earlier this year on a podcast with Gabe Blackstone, and we went into detail about the CW and what all that she has done in producing that and everything. But listen, I want to go again in a little bit different direction and going back kind of as we start to wrap up here to also kind of do a wrap of what's been happening in Las Vegas. I had read what you were talking about, the band of magicians that lasted for just a flash in the pan, unfortunately.
Yep.
And I'm assuming there
yep,
have been some others that have opened and closed, maybe not in such record short case, but there have been some others that have come and gone, and some others that have been successful. Anything
yeah,
that you can talk about, or some stories, or people, or
yeah, well,
shows?
You know, people come and go all the time. I mean, you know, people don't the most recent was the Band of Magicians. You know, they open in 3.5 weeks, they close, and it's probably the quickest opening closing of a magic show in this town in a long time that
mm-hmm,
I can think of. You know what I mean? But you know, the problem with when you've lived in this town and and, you know, I work in this town every day. And what I mean by I work in this town every day, I'm not hired by Planet Hollywood to be talent. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not part of the show. I produce my own show. So 90% of my time is spreadsheets, advertising, ticket brokers. I mean, that's my main job. When I walk on stage for the hour, that's easy. I mean, that I've been doing all my life.
Yeah.
That's when I can relax, believe it or not. Material, I got over 2.5 hours of material that I can swing in and out. I have more material than I have time in my show. And I always try to create new stuff because of the TV stuff I do and all that. But my point is, I am the one that's making and losing money personally. So I understand all the facets. But when you're hired, like the Band of Magicians, as talent, you don't know about the brokers. And you learn quickly, but you don't know. And it doesn't matter because you're getting a weekly salary. If you had one person
right,
in the audience, for $1,000, you don't give a crap. You know why? Because it's not your money. You know what I mean? It's not your investment.
Mm-hmm.
The only drawback of that is you could get your pink slip really quickly. You know what I mean? Because all of a sudden you get a phone call going, hey, we're done this week. And you're like, what? Because you are talent. And if the investor is losing their ass on a show – they're going to cut all cords. And that's exactly what happens time and time again in Vegas.
It's all about the bottom line, for sure.
Of course. And and it shocks a lot of people. They go, I can't believe it. They didn't give us a shot. Well, when you're losing $80,000 a week on a show, that's a lot of money to lose every week. And that's what happens. When you produce your own show like I do and a few others in this town, you have a little more control on that because you can see where the money is going, where it shouldn't be going. It's a lot more work and a bit more risk, but then you have a lot more respect, you know, for getting back to that point of how do you sell a $35 or a $25 or a $45 ticket at a show? You know, and the show was, the guys were really nice, like I said, but the show wasn't that original. You know, the stuff was a lot of stock tricks, you know, that they had from stores and from stuff you've seen. You know, they had their own personalities, but the problem is you look at all four of them, and none of them have a brand. None of them. And I'm not saying this to be mean.
Right.
I'm just being real. You know what I mean? And if they heard this, they probably wouldn't be happy. But the point is, what I mean by a brand is you walk down the street, they go, that's you. You know what I mean?
Right.
And you look at from David Copperfield, because he's a legend, you know, and he's been around years. He is famous. He doesn't necessarily have a brand in the sense of his look, because he's just a good-looking man.
Yeah.
But he's so damn good, it doesn't matter now. He's famous. But you look at people like Matt King, you know, and even Chris Angel, you know, all those people, they have a look, you know, and they worked hard. And same with me. I branded myself. But when you look at the four of them, not one of them stood out, and they're all wearing jeans and T-shirts.
Right.
Well, I know that's hip and cool because I do that on all my YouTube videos because you need to be the public to address the public sometimes.
Right.
But when you want to when you walk on that stage, though, there has to be something that pops a little bit. Look at Katy Perry. Look at Ariana Grande. Look at all these people that are still young and hip. Look at Justin Bieber. They still pop. They still have a hook, you know, and I don't think enough people understand that. So looking at a show like that, and they picked the wrong theater. It's 1,100-seat theater. You know, they're lucky to sell 100 tickets a night, you know what I mean, realistically. They
right.
needed a theater that was 300 seats, not 1,100, you know. But you know, you live and learn. But the minute they were coming into there, I could have sat down with them, given five pointers that they could have saved their ass, you know what I mean? But if you don't know that, then you don't know, you know what I mean? It's like if I'm going to Broadway to open up a show, I don't know anything about New York or Broadway. I have no idea. But I could have written the greatest play about you and me, Scott, the best play in the world about our friendship and our knowing each other for 20 years, and you and I could think it's the best thing since sliced bread.
Right.
But when I get to Broadway to put it up and stage it, it's not that great because it's Broadway. And if I haven't done my research and seen every show on Broadway, the one that have made money and lost money, you realize that your story or your show or your talent isn't that great. It's not just about the talent. It's about the commercialism of it, the advertising, your followers, your fan base, and who's going to come and see a show like this. And if you really have done that research, then our show might be something that we've created for Broadway. But until you've done that and sat in that environment for a while and really taken in what they need, I don't think you have a chance. You know what I mean? It's like you trying to be an MMA fighter, you and I going in the ring. Well, I work out every day. I'm in great shape. I can bench press, 350 pounds. Okay, but that has nothing to do with walking in a ring with a professional fighter.
Well, that kind of comes full circle about what we were talking about earlier, and that is to have a plan. In other words, you just can't say, like I said earlier, I'm going to work Las Vegas showroom this weekend. Well, you know, there are a lot of things that have to be done beforehand, and as you're talking about building a brand and everything, that is one way of trying to get to whatever that goal might be. If it is going to be like working Las Vegas, you just can't jump into something. So that is going to be the training you're talking about, like with an MMA fighter or whatever, that, yeah, you're not going to jump in the ring unless that you have done all the preparation. The same thing with anything that you want to do, there has to be that plan.
Oh, 100%. You know, then I don't think people realize that, you know, we think we're amazing, or we've won the FISM Award, or we've won Society of American Magicians, and I can talk like this because I've got more awards than I really need, you know what I mean? And like we talked about this before, though, and this is no disrespect to FISM, because in our industry, it's a phenomenal award, it's a great competition, it's held all over the world, and it does come, you know, pull out some of the top performers in the world. The problem is, commercially, FISM has no value, because commercially, no one knows what FISM is. Magicians don't book us for big money. You know, when we do magic conventions, we do it for, you know, a pretty reasonable price.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're in Atlantic City, you're in Europe, you're in Las Vegas, L.A., if you have a Tony Award, a Golden Globe, a Grammy, an Oscar, now we're cooking. Now we can put that on a poster because that's important. Even if I didn't know you,
right.
I go, wow, Scott Wells won a Tony. You know what? He's got to be good. You know, having performed at the Magic Castle is a bigger award than winning FISM, because the Magic Castle is at least a public, knowledgeable venue. And it's the Carnegie Hall for magicians.
Similarly,
so just performing there.
Yeah. You know? Similarly, I have promoted myself with different awards or places I perform or whatever.
Yeah.
But that's not something that my market is going to book me on. But whenever I say I'm a three-time winner of Houston's Magician of the Year, it's like, okay, I can relate to that because I, you know, some of my market is in Houston, so some of the companies will say
that's right,
and they put that on their promotional material, saying, hey, you know, for this holiday party, we're going to be having Houston's three-time winner of Magician of the Year who will be performing the party, because the people can relate to that. If they would say they performed the Magic Castle, that means something in L.A., but outside of a small microcosm, it doesn't mean anything in Houston, you know.
Exactly, 100%. So you're right. Most people think the Magic Castle is the Disney's like Matterhorn or something. Like, they really think it's, you know what I mean? They don't realize. You think it's a kid's park, you know, and as we know, it's not. So I always tell people that these awards are lovely, but don't waste space. I see magicians, and I know exactly who they are in my head now, and I'm not going to mention them.
Yeah.
But on their posters or on their 8x10s, three-time award winner of SAM, two-time FISM winner, da-da-da, who gives a shit? The reason why is because it doesn't do anything for the clients that are booking you. If you're working for Sears for a corporate show or Oracle or Microsoft, they ain't no one in that. Even the president, unless he's in magic, doesn't know what those awards mean. You're wasting space.
Just
right. say you performed at, you know, with you know, you performed at the White House. That's great. You know, you performed on CW or any TV show.
Right.
Even if you performed on a local talk show, say Houston Mornings or whatever it's called over there, but it's an ABC affiliate. Well, be smart. Don't worry about the Houston part. Just put ABC, because legally you were on ABC. It's an affiliate, but it was still ABC. Well, ABC, everyone knows. You know what I mean?
Well,
so you just
got to
be smart about that.
That's true. I just was given the honor of being the magician to perform for the activities leading up to the Super Bowl that'll be here in Houston. And so
that's pretty cool.
I had auditioned for that, and they said, we have had thousands of people, and you're on the team. And so I just put that on my website, because that's something that people can relate to when they look at that and say, oh, Super Bowl magician, he must be
huge. That's huge, yeah.
Yeah, because that's relatable, and people know what the Super Bowl is, certainly.
Of course.
And so I put that, you know, proud and big on my website then right now.
You should. Yeah, that's exactly what we do, you know, and you gotta be smart about stuff like that. Use it to your advantage, and don't kid yourself. It's lovely in our industry to win the awards that in our industry, you know, get people excited. But our industry isn't paying our mortgage. I mean, magicians, you know, I mean, magician bookers, like for magic shows, aren't paying the money. So really be smart and put even though the FISM Award or a SAM Award or a Texas Association Magicians Award is great, and I've got mine displayed, the one I won, the Herman Yeager, which I'm really proud of, you know, when I won it years ago. It's always been out.
I remember presenting it to you back in 2000.
Yeah, you did. That's right. Way back in Austin, yeah. And I still have that one out. It's always, because it's a cool looking award. It looks like an Oscar.
Yeah.
And it's a phenomenal award, and people ask about it. I most of my awards are in a trunk downstairs, but I have two or three out that are pretty cool because they do look great. And that's why I have them out. And it's, you know, it's in my office, whatever. But my point is, the reason I have that out as well, because it looks like an Oscar. When people ask about it, you know, it has a relationship to a higher award.
Right.
Indirectly, in our business, it is equal to that award, but not in a grand scheme, you know.
Right.
So I try to share that with a lot of people, you know, when they do advertising and marketing. Really be honest with yourself, you know what I mean? So,
well, perhaps this time next year when we get together, we can talk again really about the social media and things that you have done. I know, like this past year, that with David Da Vinci, that you were part of that team that got together and they did that weekend. And that is something that's interesting also, but we're kind of drawing to a close, so kind of running out of time, because if they want to go back and listen to some of your tips and suggestions on how to promote yourself and brand yourself and work the social media to your advantage, I suggest that listeners go back and just do a search for Murray Sawchuk, and you can find some of the previous podcasts I've had with you, in which you've given some really great tips on that. So listen, as we start to close over here, Murray, that it is the holidays, and that I've asked you in the past about what your magic word is, and I know that those things that are important to us may change from time to time as to whether it's going to be, you know, family or the season or whatever that it happens to be that is kind of your current mantra. So let me ask you then again, what is it that is your magic word or phrase?
I have a magic word this year is to rescue. And it's probably one that most people don't maybe will understand or not, but to rescue, I love that word, and the reason I say this is, and the reason I'm also saying as well, is I put as we're talking as well, I'm working on my Christmas card, and my picture, which I sent you for the podcast as well, is me and my one of my chihuahuas, Bailey, and I rescued her a year and a half ago, and I'm all about rescuing dogs, you know, and I say this to everybody: if you want to get a dog, I know everyone loves that puppy in the shopping mall at Petco, PetSmart, whatever, but go to your local adoption place and see if you can find a puppy there, because they need homes, and they need more homes more than the actual ones in the store, and you're saving a life, and I'm a huge supporter of that. And so I'm using rescue for my Christmas word because, and it doesn't have to do with animals. You know, we did a video on my YouTube channel, which is Magic Murray, as you know, which is going to come out in a couple of weeks, where I had my friends and I, we made 100 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches in my kitchen, and we wrapped them all up, and I did a magic trick where I had an empty box in a wagon, and I showed the box empty. It was a tip-over trunk idea, and then all of a sudden it was full of 100 sandwiches. I dumped them all out, and then we went down to the homeless area here in Vegas and handed them all out for Christmas and the holidays, these sandwiches, to the homeless, because they need rescuing as well, you know. Sure. So I always say, you know, this time of year, you know, think about rescuing somebody. And I mean this in the happiest way. I mean, rescue a dog, rescue a homeless person. I don't mean rescuing somebody, bringing them home and giving them a place in your house necessarily, but I mean, go down and give a little love, give a sandwich away. You know, if there's somebody alone at Christmas in your neighborhood that the family's away, rescue them and invite them for Christmas dinner. You know,
that's great.
So that's my word of the season, since you asked. So
good. Well, thank you very much, Murray. I appreciate it. And I appreciate all that you have done and that you've shared with us here, and for your longtime friendship as well. So,
oh, of course. Anything
appreciate
for you.
Thanks very much. And so for the holidays, I hope you've enjoyed this very Murray Christmas. That was Murray Sawchuk. And so for the magic word, this is Scotty out. Well, I don't know about you, but I always enjoy talking with Murray and hearing a lot of his advice and kind of what's going on. He, I think, kind of leads a pretty exciting life out there in Las Vegas, and is kind of get just a little snippet or a little insight to what he's doing each year. And so I hope you enjoy these podcasts, and as we bring Murray back each year to kind of get caught up for the holiday seasons. I said it kind of makes it for a very Murray Christmas, and without him, it's not so Murray. I guess, whatever. Hey, so listen, now since it is the holiday time, it's time for a couple of reviews of tricks that are offered from Murphy's Magic Supplies that, of course, you can purchase through your favorite magic dealer, which could mean the Magic Word Podcast, or maybe the newest online dealer who is our sponsor, the Great American Magic Company.com. First up is a DVD that's called Haunted Revolution by Mariano Gonye. And this is a DVD which includes not only, of course, the disc, but inside also then is that special something. Yes, it's called Haunted Revolution because basically this is the haunted deck. That is, that you have a card selected, it's returned to the deck, and then the card that was selected, actually, the deck cuts itself and the card comes out. There are different ways of doing this, of course, and on the label itself, it says that there are no loops or reels. It's just a smart hookup, and that's basically what you're receiving here is the information on how to do this hookup. Personally, I don't see anything that is new or revolutionary here as far as the type of hookup, even though it's called Haunted Revolution. I guess it's a revolution because it revolves as the way that you take the card out. I don't know. Anyhow, a couple different ways about how to do the hookup on this. And, of course, that it's haunted because, okay, I'll tell you, it's got some invisible thread. Now, the thread that you receive is a lot like the kind that you would normally receive, that is, in one long strand. That is, that you're going to have to then peel it apart and make it for whatever length that you want. And, of course, that there are several strands that are together on this one long thing. And so he explains, of course, how to do that. If you haven't ever stripped a strand of invisible thread, then you can watch that chapter and you can learn how to do that easily then as well. Not a problem. It's just that, again, unlike, let's say, Yigal Masika, who provides you with loops that are already prepackaged and ready to go and right out of the package, this is something that you're going to have to make yourself, which is fine because you're going to have to make it to the length that will fit for your body style and your height, weight, or distance, or whatever that you're going to use. And also coming with this, of course, is some magician's wax. So therefore, you pretty much got the whole thing. However, that's the beauty of this DVD is that it teaches you not only how to strip the invisible thread strand, which most of us know how to do that already, but if you don't, it explains that. Plus, again, a couple of hookups and also the method for getting in and out of the situation. You can do this fairly impromptu. It's something that you can carry around and do in a walk-around situation. And you can do it at a table or at the bar, and you can have it hooked up so that it is across from you or directly in front of you without going into more detail. It is pretty good. I would say that if you are interested in doing a haunted pack, which I would recommend that everybody should have some method for doing a haunted pack in your repertoire, regardless of whatever type of method you use, I think that that is one of those go-to things that people will talk about. It just freaks people out. It is really a cool-looking type of an effect in which the signed or selected card comes out of the deck. And it can, in this particular case, come spinning out, flying out, however how quickly you want to move the thing around. And getting out of the hookup then as well. So it is a beautiful thing, and it's called, again, Haunted Revolution by Mariano Gogni, and I would say that I'd recommend this if you don't already have a method or that you want to know how to do it all, and it's all enclosed in here, everything that you need in order to start doing this almost immediately. Not out of the pack, but you'll have to strip it and watch the video practice and do it. Just like all other tricks, you're going to have to practice in order to make this look great. And I would recommend showing this to a few of your close friends to try to get this down then also before you actually start doing it in front of a live paid audience then as well. So it is recommended with some reservation, whether you have a method or not already. And if you don't, this is a good one to get. Haunted Revolution by Mariano Gogni. The second and final trick up for review here is called GPS Pack Nav by Oliver Meach. This is a packet trick, let me say, and something that you would have to carry with you in addition to a regular deck of cards. So I know that pocket space gets to be at a premium, and so you have to choose your things you're going to be carrying with you very selectively. And of course, when you're doing walk-around magic, that a lot of times you're repeating the same trick over and over, whether you're working a restaurant or a corporate cocktail party, a wedding, or whatever type of a thing. And so this might be one of those things you want to carry around just because it's different enough and people can kind of relate to. And I say kind of relate to, it may be having to do a lot with your locale. Oliver Meach is a Brit. He's from the UK. And this is called a Pack Nav, which is kind of what they call their sat navs, I guess, or their satellites, their navigation system, their GPS. You basically have a card that's going to be selected, and they put their postcode, which would be as we would call it in the U.S., or zip code, on a card, and it's buried, lost, and then you pull out a packet of specially printed cards that have different instructions on the cards, basically on how to follow your satellite, your GPS. So if you have this sat nav or this GPS instrument, and you're reading this, basically you are putting one card from the front to the back. You hand that packet of cards to the volunteer, and they start. You follow the directions, and it tells you what to do as far as turning left, turning them around, making a U-turn. There are a couple of things in here that have some funny outcomes as far as what the directions are and how you follow those directions for a little bit of levity that you can add to your routine then as well. And then you have a deck of cards you're going through and you're trying to find their card basically by following the directions as they are being read in the packet of cards being held by the volunteer who had just signed the card. At the end, the revelation is that the card that is finally selected in the remaining deck you are holding is the mate to the card that they had signed. So let's say they had signed the Three of Spades, you have the Three of Clubs. It obviously does not have their signature on. You say, well, we were pretty close, but we're not at the exact destination. But the card they have that they're holding, it says you've reached your destination. You ask them to turn that one around, and it is the card on the back has the postcode or their zip code written on it. Very clever routine. I like this trick. I was anxious to get this and kind of play with it. Here are a few of my suggestions, concerns. And I think that, first of all, when I got the DVD, it would not play in my Blu-ray player. It wouldn't play in my DVD player. I tried it on three different DVD players, and it just said there was an error in reading it. However, when I would put it in my computer, it works fine. So I don't know if it's perhaps something that is not coded for the U.S., but you can play it in the computer. It's not a big problem there. But I will say that if you're going to be watching at home on your TV, that at least the copy that I got did not work on my DVD or Blu-ray player. But again, you can play this on your computer. Not a big problem. I will say that this probably is a good 4 or 5 minutes of engaging and entertaining routine. It's a different way of finding a signed card than your typical sign a card, lose a card, find a card. This is entertaining in a different way and having a different packet of cards. One issue is that after the cards have been signed and you give the cards away, you're going to be out of them after a while and you're going to have to order some more of these specially prepared cards. I assume that you can purchase these cards independently from the rest of the trick. The trick itself, the whole package with the DVD and the cards that you need are run about $40. And I suspect that's because of the cost of the foreign shipping of sending them over to the U.S. and then getting them out from here. It's a lot more expensive than your typical packet trick, but this is not really your typical packet trick, though, either. But as I said, that once you're out of the cards, you're going to have to buy some more. And you do get enough for 20 performances. That could be enough. Depending upon where you're working, if it's a restaurant or a corporate affair, you could run through those in 1 or 2 nights. On the DVD, Oliver Meach does teach you a different method for how that you can reuse the cards. And before he had even mentioned it, it seems obvious that you just have someone sign a sticker and put that on the cards. Whenever I was first getting involved in card magic, that was what I was doing. And I got very good reaction, but there was always a little bit in the hesitancy or something in the back of the minds in which they were saying, that sticker could have moved from one card to another. Something happened over here that's not quite the same as actually signing the physical card as opposed to having that sticker put on there. It's just that little bit of extra something. So this might be something, again, that you could use over and over, and in certain crowds you can do that, use the stickers. But if you're wanting to make a real impact on a client that you want to work for in the future, or something that would be a physical memory, or like as Jeff McBride might say, a gift magic of some sort that you can give this out and they will remember that moment because something actually had changed, because it did have the back of the regular bicycle playing cards, and then suddenly it has a sat-nav card on the back of this of their signed card. So it actually had physically changed. Again, kind of a cool trick. As far as recommending it, I would say it's fairly pricey. Again, you only get 20 cards or 20 uses, but you can use another method to with the stickers to reuse them over and over. I would say, yeah, that it's a good trick. Will I start to carry this around? I've done it a few times just for some friends, again, using a sticker myself rather than having to waste a few cards just on some practice to show some friends. Again, pocket space is at a premium when you're strolling. And so I am very selective as to the few packet tricks that I might carry. And this might be one that I think I would reserve for a special time when I'm going to be working for a client that has something to do with travel or something to do with the automotive industry. Or more importantly, if I'm going to be doing a trade show, I would definitely want to do this if it related to the company that I'm going to be working for, because this is a very strong trick and has some good built-in humor and something that, again, is a little bit different than your standard card trick. So on a trade show, when you're trying to stand out, this is a trick that would make that stand out. So I would say in some professional situations, this would be perfect. So with this one, I would say, as with the last one I just reviewed, with the Haunted Revolution, I would say that I would give this a recommendation with a little reservations, as I had mentioned. And so again, this is called GPS Pack Nav by Oliver Meach. Well, and so there you have it. a couple of reviews of tricks that are available through Murphy's Magic Supplies and available from your favorite magic dealer, which hopefully is me, the magicwordpodcast.com, or from your new online dealer, who is the Great American Magic Company. And I want to thank Eric Citron again for sponsoring the Magic Word Podcast. You know, whenever I post these reviews, I try to be as honest as I can, so this way that you can be judicious in trying to make a good selection with your money to decide which kind of tricks would fit for you. Certainly that everything is not going to fit for everyone. And so these are honest reviews of mine for things that will fit for me. And I try to give you that insight so this way you have a good idea of whether that it might fit for you or not. Just because it doesn't for me doesn't mean that it's not going to be right for you. And vice versa. Just because it's right for me doesn't mean that it's going to be good for you. But you can hopefully gain some insight from my reviews that I give you over here, and that you can spend your money wisely when you are making that investment in your magic future, to decide what it is that's going to fit for your repertoire. And speaking of tricks, I think now is the time for us to present the winner of this past week's contest. If you had gone earlier to themagicwordpodcast.com, there was a place there at the bottom of that week's blog that you could enter the contest, and then a random name will be drawn. In fact, it has been drawn. I'll give that name in just a moment, but we are going to continue to do that because Eric, from week to week, will be giving us some different ideas of things that are going to be available, just as he has here. So if you'll go again to the magicwordpodcast.com, scroll to the bottom, you'll see a place where you can enter the contest. Just sign up with your name and email address, and you'll have an opportunity to win this surprise Christmas gift, or Hanukkah gift, or Kwanzaa, or Festivus, or whatever kind of a gift that you want to call it. It will be available for you, and he will send it to you. Hopefully, you'll receive it shortly after Christmas, sometime between Christmas and the New Year. And it'll be something that I think you'll like, and it's pretty cool. He told me what it was, but I don't want to tip it here as much as I would like to. You know, magicians should be good at keeping secrets, so I just won't tell you what it is that he's going to be sending you. But you'd like it, so go ahead and to sign up there. So the thing that Eric is giving away from last week's contest is 2 weeks of at-the-table lectures from Murphy's Magic Supplies. These are fantastic opportunities for you to learn from some of the world's greatest magicians, because these guys get together in the studio and they're professionally recorded, and then you can download them to watch at your leisure, and you own them for life. And so they last 2, 3, 4 hours, depending upon however much time that it might take to get through the vast material that each magician is trying to teach you. Now, there are 2 lectures per month on the at-the-table lectures from Murphy's, and if you buy just one, it's $7.95, but through the subscription, you get an additional one for only $2 more. So basically, $9.95 a month, you get the opportunity to download 2 great lectures each month, and it's unknown who is going to be from month to month who the 2 lectures are until it gets to be close to the beginning of each month in which those 2 people are announced as being the guests. So let's find out whose name was drawn as the winner of this last week's contest for 2 free months of At the Table lectures. And the winner is Joe Jubilato. Congratulations, Joe. Eric Citron should be getting in touch with you soon, so this way that you will have access then to the next 2 months of lectures. That's going to be 4 free lectures that you get just for listening to the Magic Word Podcast and entering the contest. So thank you, Joe, for entering, and thank you, Eric, for offering this great prize. Well, as we conclude this podcast, I want to remind everybody that I'm sure you probably already purchased all of your gifts for the holidays. But if you haven't, or you're planning on purchasing something perhaps for yourself from Amazon.com, I implore you to please consider clicking through the Amazon.com link we have here on the Magic Word Podcast. Each time you click on that and you visit Amazon.com and you purchase anything, some small portion of that gets back to the Magic Word Podcast. So it is a good way of helping to support us while still buying any product that you want to buy. That's not just for the holidays, but year-round. Just make sure that you go through the link, and it will help the Magic Word Podcast. The link is provided on the website here, as well as year-round, that you can go to the tab over to the side of the podcast, and you can see where it says Amazon Store, and you can go through the link there. And so, as we conclude this podcast, I want to again thank Murray Sawchuk for being my guest, and also for the wonderful things that he's doing for people there in Las Vegas. And so I want to wish each of you a very Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, Happy Festivus, whatever it is you're celebrating or not. I hope that you have just the best holiday season ever right now, because we're just a few days away. And as far as my faith goes, I wish you all a very Merry Christmas. So until next time, stay well, get booked, and consider rescuing someone, perhaps a dog or a person, but do something good for someone else and pay it forward. And consider Murray's word of rescue. This is Scotty out.